Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it right now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, as you probably know, your son Coleman works here at Basic Gospel, and today is a very special day in his life. It's number 24, his double dozenth birthday today. So happy happy birthday to Coleman Christopher today.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm a proud dad. I love all my kids.
I love that kid,
just,
too.
Just proud to be their dad, and Coleman, I just love him.
I mean, absolutely.
He's my buddy, and we just have a great time together, and one of my friends from high school was saying, and I bet he can do everything better than you. And I'm like, you bet he can. He can do everything better. And it sure is humbling. But love that guy, and so glad that he works with us and is helping get the good news of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible. He's doing a fantastic job with our YouTube channel.
He is.
And we have a lot of great information on our YouTube channel. And we're seeing more and more people subscribe to that. And we certainly, if you're a listener and you've never subscribed to our YouTube channel and you want some fresh information about some troubling passages in the Word of God or various teaching series that we've done, one on the book of Hebrews, what we're going through now on Fridays, 1 John, all of that is on our YouTube channel, and so we certainly invite you to go there. It's youtube.com/basicgospel, and you can find a wealth of information. And while you're there and while you're searching around, be sure and subscribe and tell your friends about all that vast wealth of information and resources that is there to help you grow in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. But Coleman's behind all of that.
And we're Send him a thank you note.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and a happy birthday as well.
Well, today, I want to spend a few minutes in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is just a great, great passage. Starting in chapter 3 all the way to chapter 5, it is really a beautiful picture of this gospel of Jesus Christ, this new covenant of grace and life that we live in today as believers in Jesus Christ. But one of the things that Paul did in both the first letter to the Corinthians and the second letter was to defend his apostleship. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came into these cities, he went into Corinth, and he told the people about Jesus. He told the people about his death, his burial, his resurrection, the great hope that they could have through faith in Christ, this new life that they can have, this new identity. And boy, they latched on to that. And then after he had done his work, then these so-called super apostles came in right behind him, and they were slick and polished and had their PowerPoint presentations and had their catchy phrases and all of those things. And boy, they were skilled in oration. And so these Corinthians, they kind of latched on and said, "But hey, we like what they're telling us." And so they started to shrink away from this message of truth that Paul had delivered about Christ Jesus. And so he's saying, hey, we didn't put ourselves in danger. We didn't suffer all of these things for our sake. We did it for your sake. We wanted you to know the fullness of God as revealed to us in the person of Christ Jesus. So in this chapter 4, he's talking about all the things that he's had to endure, you know, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in his body the death of Jesus Christ so that the life of Christ might be manifest, and those sort of things. And then he gets down to verse 13, and he says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I speak, we also believe and so we also speak." So Paul was this guy that, you know, was a Pharisee of Pharisees, was a rising star as far as Judaism was concerned. He was the future, and folks were looking to him in that way. And boy, when people, his brothers, his Jewish brothers and sisters, started following this man named Jesus, he was outraged. I mean, he was ticked. And boy, we see him, we meet him, watching the leader stone Stephen, and he's there condoning that act, and he walks away from that with just fury, just boiling through him, just rising up in him, saying, "We're going to rid this world of this sect called the Way." And so he got letters, and he was on his way to Damascus, and we know the story. He's hit by a bright light. He's just stopped dead in his tracks, and he meets Jesus, and everything changes. He realizes that Jesus, that person who was standing right there in front of him, was God's plan all along, and that all of Judaism was pointing to Jesus. And everything became crystal clear at that moment. And so he believed, and he could not help but speak. And that's what the prophets of old did. They believed and they spoke. And Paul believed and he spoke. What did he speak? He spoke the story of Jesus. And he says this, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Why did he speak? Because it brings hope to every single person. Every single person humbled, recognizing their lostness, their condition, and their need for someone outside of themselves to come and bring them life. He spoke for that benefit, so that people could know when they breathed their last, they would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And so he says this, for it is for your sake, so that his grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. One translation puts it this way, we do not give up. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. For Paul, it was Jesus. It was the grace of Jesus Christ and nothing else. And he would swim through shark-infested waters to get that message to someone dead in trespasses and sin, someone who needed the forgiving touch of the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who needed an identity that was unshakable, just that would give them an anchor for their souls. Paul faced all kinds of persecution, not for his sake, but for the sake of those that he served, for the sake of those that he ministered to. And I found a lot of inspiration in reading this passage the other day, and a lot of encouragement in ministry. You know, the grace message doesn't sell. It's not a marketer's dream message. Yeah. But it is the message that meets the needs of human hearts. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it can be discouraging. Sometimes it can be hard to continue. But this passage says, never give up. Why? Because it's for the sake of people who need to know the touch, the grace touch of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. Thank you for joining us. I'm Bob Davis with your welcome, and we have a line for you right now. If it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast. We want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. You know, the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday season is here again, friends, and you know, the end of the calendar year is not much more than about 6 weeks away. But between now and then, it's time to keep the momentum going. We still have work to do before the end of the year. When you make your November gift to support Basic Gospel, be sure to request your copy of Bob Christopher's message, Everything You Need for Life and Godliness. It's just one way of saying thank you for your support of this message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ here at Basic Gospel. You'll find all the ways to make your gift when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. In Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we go to our phone lines, and Nick, we're coming right to you. Just want to remember those that out in California in the path of those fires. I mean, it's just amazing the destruction that has happened because of that. And they're still trying to figure out the why, what caused it. They're probably going to find out here fairly soon. But, you know, whatever, there's still a lot of destruction. And so I know we have a lot of friends in Northern California who listen, who tune in, who've been affected by that. And so our thoughts and prayers are for you guys, and that you will feel an extra measure of God's presence, God's grace, and God's comfort during this particular time.
Yeah, Northern California and the area of the coastal area just north of Los Angeles.
That's right.
Well.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's go to Fort Worth and talk with Nick, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Nick.
What's going on, brothers?
Well, we're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, lately I've been having, I feel, spirit speaking to me in ways, but of course your own human ego and nature can kind of be clouded whenever your emotions get involved. And my question today is how, from a God mindset, to move past or current hurts or anger and not let it cloud your present, and how to be able to move forward. And mostly the word that comes to mind is to let go. You know, that's pretty much it. I want to remain holy, sanctified, and I want to stay in that God mindset, stay centered, and just not let whatever my perceived affliction is cloud my judgment.
Okay, Nick, great question. Yeah. And I think the best way forward in how to really let go of the past is to recognize that your past doesn't define you. A lot of times we hang on to the past because our identity's involved in it. It's an attack against who we are as people, or at least who we think we are as people. And so we bow up and we want to defend ourselves. We want to take a stand, and we don't want to let go, because when we let go, we're letting go of ourselves.
Yeah.
And the only way to move forward is to recognize that our past does not define us, that our identity is not derived from those things that we've done or that have been done to us in years gone by, that our identity, our true identity, is derived from Jesus Christ, that when we come to faith in him, that old self has died. It died with Jesus. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, we've been crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have to realize that in Christ we have a brand new identity. And once we really understand that and embrace that new identity, then we're free to let go of the past. That really kind of puts the oil on our hands sufficient enough to let go, and that past just kind of slides away. So that's the first thing. We have to recognize who we are in Jesus. The second thing we have to recognize is that if somebody has hurt us in the past, then Christ has already dealt with that. We don't have to. Paul gives this amazing statement in Romans chapter 8, in the first few verses there. He said that God condemns sin in sinful man through Jesus Christ. So we want to hold on because we want to make sure justice happens. We want to make sure that the books are balanced and everything is now fair and on even ground. So if somebody's done something to me, I think I need to do something back to them, and everything's going to be okay. Well, we have to realize that Christ has already done something, that he took that sin upon himself 2,000 years ago. He bled and died. So he's not counting that sin against that person. He's not counting your sin against you. So you think, well, if that's what Jesus has done, then again, I'm just going to let go of it. I'm not going to be able to do anything better with that hurt from the past than what Christ has already done. So I'm going to rest in what he's already accomplished on that front. So we need to learn our new identity in Christ and recognize that Christ has already done something about those hurts. He bled and died. Richard?
Yeah, let me read something that Bob started with at the beginning of the program here. It's at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. That's the stuff that has happened to us, that we've done to ourselves, bad decisions, all the rest of it. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, all of the things that have happened to me that I've done, this earth, all of that, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. When you have your eyes fixed on Jesus and you realize that he is renewing you from the inside out, then you can realize how true the things Bob just said about how to deal with these hurts really are. It's life-changing. And it doesn't mean that we haven't suffered affliction, because we have. Again, some of it foisted on us, some of it we've done to ourselves. But Jesus is greater than all of that, and he's inside of us, and he's renewing us every day.
So, Nick, here's what I'd like to do. I hope that helps and is an encouragement to you today. I've written extensively about this in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, How to Let Go of the Past. There's a whole chapter in that book on that very subject, and I want to send it to you as our gift to you, if that's okay.
Oh, that'd be wonderful, brother. Anything that can uplift the spirit and renew the mind, I'm all about it. I feel it, you know, every day, the changes, and
yeah.
I see the hurt in the world, and it really does pain me, you know, whether it's a friend or an enemy. I don't want nobody to have to suffer, but that is where the growth comes from. But like you said, you know, you have to let go of it and your own humanistic nature and desires. I'm through, man, trying to run my own life, because that hasn't worked out well, and I'm 30 now, and I'm done trying that. I just want to be in line with God and not be in a fear mindset. Or a hurt mindset, you know.
Well, Nick, you're right where you need to be. That's just a fantastic attitude, and you know, you'll see a lot of things becoming very clear to you as far as this gospel message is concerned. So we thank you for your call today. Hold on, and we'll get your information, and we'll send you a copy of that book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You hold on, Nick.
And friends, if you'd like to get a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you can go online to our website, basicgospel.net, and under the Resources tab, you'll find our store and all the resources there, including Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We encourage you to pick up a copy of it. It will make a big difference in your understanding of the true meaning of God's grace. Also, a lot of deceptive teaching and confusion surrounding this issue of giving to support the work of Christ. Tithing is a big hammer that comes down really hard sometimes. And friends, we want you to have a full understanding of this issue. We want you to have a free copy of this booklet that we have. It's called Giving the New Covenant Way. It'll tell you everything you need to know about giving. Give the New Covenant Way. Just request your copy when you visit basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk with Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing great. Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. And my question is coming from 2 Timothy, the second chapter, Paul's letter to Timothy, verses 11 through 13. What I'm trying to get an understanding of these passages, is Paul just talking to believers, or is he talking to believers and unbelievers? And I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer off the phone. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Aaron. We appreciate it. Well, here's the passage that Aaron is referencing. It says this: the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, he's just making some statements. He's just making some statements about Christ, about his work, and I don't think we need to try to parse it out and try to figure out, well, who is he talking to and who is he not talking to. He's just making some statements. So if we've died with him, and Paul, this is a theme in all of Paul's letters, If we've died with him, then the truth is we're also going to live with him. Yeah. Just as he was raised from the dead physically, we're raised from the dead spiritually. We're made alive. He is now our life, and we're going to live with him forever. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Well, that's the perseverance of the saints. We endure because he's in us. It's not because of our human effort. It's not because of anything like that.
It's not gritting our teeth.
No, no. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, that's a very troubling statement, isn't it?
It can be.
Yeah. So if I think, oh, my goodness, was there a time I ever denied him? Well, we see a picture of that in the Gospels with Peter. He denied the Lord three times. You know, I never knew him. Three different times, and not in front of people who had power or prestige or status, but, folks, just common folks. And he said, no, I've why? Because he feared for his life. He was scared to death. Well, what did Jesus do with him? He restored him. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, there are certainly people that, deny the gospel, who say, hey, I don't want it. There are certainly people who try to make a case and look at all the great things that I've done in your name, and Jesus is going to look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're building a case based on their works, based on human effort, not based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is just a statement that Paul is making, and just kind of let it be for what it is. Richard, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, the idea here is if you want to take and say, oh, have I denied him? Well, have you done what the Pharisees did and accused Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of demons?
Right.
I mean, if you've gone that far, you're lost.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
and
notice, he is still faithful. He's faithful, even when we're faithless. You might be lost, but he keeps drawing you to himself because he is so faithful.
Right.
And if you will respond, then you will die with him and live with him, and you
right.
will endure and you will reign with him because he guarantees it.
And he cannot deny himself.
And he can't deny himself.
Yeah, he cannot deny himself. So he's going to persevere.
Yes.
Even with those who deny him, even with those who reject, he's going to persevere. And hopefully his grace will humble them so that they will receive. So, well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that question.
Here's another question out of Matthew 10. Jesus said that the one who endures to the end will be saved. What did he mean, endure to the end?
Well, he's really talking about the disciples. He's talking about what was up ahead for them. And we try to project that out to us. We know that as believers in Christ, we're going to persevere. Why? Because we have Christ living in us. Mm-hmm. We have that deposit. We have that guarantee. We've already been marked out. So when Jesus returns, we're going to be there with him. If we die before he returns, we're going to come back with him in glory. If we're still here, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to go join him, and everybody will see us for who we are.
Yeah.
So we're going to persevere. That's just a given. But that particular passage is about the disciples and all that was up ahead. I mean, You can imagine, with Jesus being crucified for simply saying that he was the Son of God, and what was up ahead for those disciples and those who endured, received the gift of the Spirit, and became witnesses of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Great answer, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. Please remember Basic Gospel in your giving to support the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you make your November gift, we're going to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent message called Everything You Need for Life and Godliness. You'll find all the ways to make your gift when you request your copy when you visit basicgospel.net. In Canada, you can make your gift and request your copy at basicgospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, that you can get a question to us through the 24-hour listener line. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll address your question here on Basic Gospel. So now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, Billy and Greg and the birthday boy Coleman, for Stephen, for Michelle and Kim and Vivian, for Rod and up in Canada, for all of us here, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be here again tomorrow as we continue in our excellent series from the book of 1 John on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.